Thank you for joining No Filter Femme. This is part two of episode four. And if you are joining and you have not seen part one of episode four, please go back and watch it because you are not going to be disappointed. We are talking about Rebel Love, redefining love after 40. And this is a good pivot to start talking about now, even the sexual side of it.
Yeah.
And we talked about this last night with the ladies. And if you have not watched episode three, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you to go watch it right now because it was
so
amazing.
Good. Oh, it was so good.
And the women who came on spoke so honestly, even about what sex is like over 40 within the context of marriage, outside of the context of marriage. And I will say that that is a major consideration even in getting married, is what will sex be?
Yeah.
Right? Do I know? And I'm not going to give away what was on episode three, but I will say that we had some women show up that were well beyond 40.
Yeah.
That, you know, just recently could even put language
yes.
to what they wanted out of sex with partners that they've been with for 30 years.
Years. Yes.
And let me just say this. I ain't got that kind of time. And that's not a judgment.
No. But that's the beauty in having those conversations,
yes.
though, because you expedite the time. It's like, oh, I can just learn from your experience,
yes.
and I can then, you know, be catapulted so much further, faster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's over 40. It's like, just give me the information, honey. I don't need to learn by experience anymore. I was learning by experience mm-hmm. in my 20s, in my 30s, but maybe now at 40, let's see how we can get on the road of acceleration
yeah.
to get to the results and the solutions that we need to be happy. And, you know, I learned so much in the conversation we had last night just about communication with your partner.
So huge.
I mean, simple things like, I don't like it when you do, you know, certain things in the bed, or I would like for you to
yes
do
yes
certain things
a little to the left, a little to the right.
Baby, you doing a whole lot of work and it's not it's not giving.
It's the chicken nugget of it all.
Like, let's have a conversation. And what was so freeing about that is, you know, what came out in that conversation was a simple tweak.
Yes.
And communication changed everything.
Yeah.
Meaning she was holding back information because she was shameful a bit and didn't want to be offensive to her mate in speaking up about what she needed. But when she did, he loved it.
Loved it. Loved it so much he verbalized it and then encouraged her to keep. I don't even know where it came from, but whatever it is, let's keep doing it.
Right. And so imagine like all of those years sitting on that.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. not feeling empowered and that you have permission to be honest about what you want sexually. Only to find out that it was always really available to you.
Yeah.
You just didn't ask for it.
Yes. And then the other young lady who is divorced and has been able to compartmentalize, this is a physical connection.
Yeah.
That's it. This is not a love thing.
Yeah.
This is a physical connection. And the freedom, I think comes after 40, because she was closer to 50 than 40, that comes in that communication.
Yeah.
But in a single space of, oh no, baby, this our time has come to a close.
Yeah, she's get your coat, go home. You know, it's really reminding me so much of, you know, Waiting to Exhale, like, you know, just the different personalities of
yes.
women. And I think that we are living that movie, I think, was before its time.
I so agree with you on that.
And I think now what I'm seeing, and I'm so proud of Black women over 40, is that we are doing more of that.
Yeah.
You know, coming together, different from different life perspectives, different ranges. And that was what was so beautiful about, you know, the ladies we had on last night. We had every, you know, ages from 42 to 60.
Yeah.
And the flavor of the wisdom and the experiences that were shared. I mean, I don't know that one of us left having empty-handed.
Not at all.
Having not learned, you know, at least something.
Yeah. And what I loved about it too was it was so candid and it was so transparent. Nobody was in that space, I don't believe, feeling shameful.
Right.
Maybe communicating at moments when there was shame present.
Yeah.
But not in that space, not feeling safe enough to be able to communicate, this was a challenge that I was having.
Yeah.
Or this is the joy that I was having. You know, when we talk about the sex over 40 conversation, it's everything from, you know, the rose and the rose in a single life, the rose in a married life, you know, and everything in between. And how our hormones and menopause and perimenopause all affects, whether you're single, married, or what have you, how that affects that dynamic.
Yeah.
And, you know, is this a conversation with a doctor or with a specialist so that now as my hormones are adjusting and changing that I can do something to level that out so that my sex drive is higher and more present as my body changes, you know, and just being able to have those conversations of this does look different, because then some of the ladies last night were like, well, actually, my sex drive is higher now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that was remarkable for me, because I was the one who said at 43, my sex drive is in the garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the honest truth.
Yeah.
Like I just don't desire it. And we also talked about why that might be, because I was a very active 20-something.
Yeah.
And teen, we've been honest, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but I do think it's more hormonal. And hearing the women talk about, you know, the shifts in hormones, you know, after 40, and, you know, some of the women being on the other side of maybe the downturn in libido was helpful for me. Like, cause I literally have been thinking maybe that this is just what the rest of my life is going to be. And I'm doing it because, you know, I'm married and
this,
you know,
what we do.
This is what we do, but I'm not enjoying it in the same way that I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because my body feels different.
Yeah.
And so last night I was able to put language to that. It's like, girl, you're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hope, you know, go see a doctor, number one, and get those hormones leveled out.
Yeah.
And there is hope on the other side of this that, you know, you can have a fulfilling sexual life again.
Yeah.
Because I was nervous about that for real.
And I wasn't nervous, but it did help me in a slightly different way, because I was abstinent for 17 years prior to marriage, it really was after marriage that I learned maybe my sex drive has always been low.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was able to move through such an extended period of abstinence. Beyond the mental aside, physical in there somewhere plays a role.
Right.
And last night was good for me because it's like, okay, maybe this is something that I've just never addressed. Maybe my hormone levels have been needing to be adjusted throughout the course of my adult life, but I've never really looked into it because I've never had a high sex drive. I still don't have a high sex drive. So to me, this is the way it's always been. But then I'm sitting here looking at these ladies talking about, oh, well, it's higher. And I'm thinking, okay, well, let me make an appointment.
I want in on that.
ASAP, right? Yes. I'm like, I need to be swinging from the chandeliers and all of the things, right? And so it was good for me, too, because it was just really kind of an aha in my world of that is something that's possible. Because I think I had just accepted that a low sex drive was just my lot in life, period.
Yeah. And how much of that do you think is because the women before us just didn't maybe do a good job of helping us understand.
Oh, huge part. Huge part. Because I think as the generations continue, we're becoming more open.
Yeah.
You know, there was this shame, this understanding that you didn't talk about the things. Like one of the things we talked about with the ladies was there was no conversation about your cycle.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, go ask your sister. And you all figure it out. And my conversation growing up about sex was literally the whole birds and the bees.
Mm-hmm.
There was no like extended conversation, but that wasn't an acceptable conversation to have.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love what we have here,
yeah.
because it's like, not only are we having open conversations, but we're having open conversations later in life.
Yeah.
Which is a different dynamic.
It is.
It is a different conversation. So that menopause dynamic, the hormonal dynamic, the I am single, ready to mingle, I'm out here doing things, or me and my rose are my best friend. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, having all of those conversations, I think, opens up a space for people to feel free
mm-hmm.
and hopefully release a lot of shame.
Yeah. And something else came up last night that I wanted to put on the table today.
Yeah.
And one of the young ladies talked about how spirituality and religion had impacted the way that she approached sex and sexual fulfillment. And I want to reiterate something that I said last night, because I am a pastor. And I feel like the church, when I say the church, I mean as an organization, has done a horrible job of helping women feel free in their sexuality. It's kind of this rote, you get married and your job is to pleasure your husband and procreate, end of story.
Yeah.
And it is so much more than that.
Yeah.
And so we have women showing up like the young lady on the show last night who is, you know, divorced twice, young and beautiful and vibrant, and trying to figure out, you know, how to balance,
yeah,
you know, her love for God and desires that she has, but also feeling condemned for even thinking,
yes,
about these things.
Yes.
Because we are not opening up the door for these conversations to say, because sometimes there's very practical things. Like I said last night, for me, somebody who was very sexually active at from a very young age, there's some practicalities to, you know, being responsible with sex,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Just outside of the Bible, there's, you know, you get one body. And so, but your body is your body. And we have to allow women to be able to ask questions and give them practical answers, and not these misinterpreted scripture, right, or interpretations of scripture, and tell them to go sit in a corner and just deal with it.
Yes.
Like, that does not work anymore. And that is wholly ineffective. And I think is an institutional problem with our approach to religion and sexuality that has many women dying on the vine.
Absolutely.
And so I just wanted to say that in representation of religion, if you will, or the church, if you will, or Christianity, if you will, we got to do better.
We do. That is a whole show.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you said it, because my husband and I were actually chatting about that in the car on the way here. And I remember all of those conversations about oral sex and different positions. And it was missionary only, no oral sex. And that's pretty much it. And the whole concept of pleasure was just not even to be discussed.
Yeah.
It really was a starfish moment. You lay there like a starfish. He enters.
Listen, like Seeley and Mr. on Color Purple.
Literally. And then he rolls over, you roll over, and that's it.
Yeah.
the concept of pleasure in that experience, specifically for the woman, pleasure for the woman, different positions, different ideas that you both agree to and that you're both comfortable in. Because what my husband and I were chatting about was, I said, I just find it fascinating that there's actually leadership saying to individuals about things in their intimate bedroom, about what should and should not be done. I was like, that is fast. But I know.
You know what's happening.
I know what's happening. And I love that you share that from your unique perspective, because I do think there is a lot of dissonance and a lot of conflict, particularly in women.
Mm-hmm.
Less so, I feel like, in men. Because a lot of it is on the woman's side of what you're really just there to do.
Submission.
Yes. Submission in that way also.
Right, exactly.
In every way.
Which is misguided. And we're going to have to have a whole other show just to talk about, you know, how religion in general and the interpretations of spirituality and religion, I think, have some negative impacts on how we as women over 40 are allowed to show up and taking up space. We'll go there. But now let's segue into our No Filter Flash speed question. And this is the segment of the show where we pull questions out of this handy dandy bowl, and we answer the questions with the first thing that comes to our mind. No time to think of a PC answer. So you are going to get a no filter response. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. Let's go see what we have this episode. These questions have been on the money.
They have been on the money.
What's the most outrageous goal you've set for yourself in your 40s?
Mm.
Ooh, most outrageous goal that I have set for myself. I would say, because this was in my 40s, I decided about a year and a half ago, I would really go all in on social media. Started with TikTok. And I said, you know, what if, because remember there was the Black girl follow trend?
Yes.
Follow train.
Train, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, you know, what if I just really gave this a try? And just, because I was kind of dabbling and kind of pretty much inconsistent. I was like, what if I really was very dedicated and committed to this consistently? What kind of impact might I be able to have?
Yeah.
And I, in December of 2020... December 2022, like that first week of December 2022, said, okay, I'm going to give this whole Black Girl Follow train a try and just see, like, maybe if I could get to, I think my original goal was like 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me see if I could get to, like, I think I had like a few hundred followers maybe on TikTok at the time, and set that goal. And it just took off more than I would have ever anticipated. And just the community and just some beautiful souls such as yourself.
That we met on TikTok.
And just some amazing, really good, solid Black women that I've connected with. All over 40, actually. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even necessarily intentional. So I would say that's probably the most outrageous goal of really setting my mind to and my intentions that let me see if I can give this social media space a chance, but I wanted to curate it and cultivate it in a way that was still me.
Yeah.
I didn't have this performance or this image I had to keep up, but just really wanted to create a safe space for Black women over 40 to be able to have some really honest dialogue about life stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
And it's so beautiful because being a woman over 40 and setting an audacious goal like that, like, I want to do this. I want to grow my account from a couple of hundred to 10,000 and then going and doing it is such an example for the community that you are never too old to set a goal and go after it and have it manifest. Like, you can do it. And I think sometimes a lot of the women that I speak to, it's like, I'd like to do that, but, you know, I might, you know, that's past my time. No, it's not. Mm-mm. You can absolutely set a goal today and put action behind it and, you know, watch your dream come true. So I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to take mine.
Okay.
What's one thing you've done that you never thought you would do at this age? Okay, I can't think too much about it. that I never thought I'd do at this age. Okay, starting over. Mm. I never thought in my 20s and my 30s, when I was sort of on even my career path, mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to progress. I knew I wanted to get to a certain level of seniority and pay. And I never thought that I would get to a point where I recognized that's not really what I wanted. Mm. That those goals were really set from external factors of what success looked like, based on what I was seeing and what people were telling me it meant to be successful. And at being over 40 and saying, I just can't do it anymore, and walking away from a very successful corporate law career and launching my own law firm, own content and podcast studio, doing things like this that have absolutely nothing to do with what I've done for the last, you know, 16 years yeah. or more. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's the existence that I have right now that I didn't see it. But I'm so glad that I chose to make the change and go through some transitions to live the life that I feel like I was created to live.
You, to me, are the epitome of that. You are the epitome of someone who, a woman, a Black woman, who obtained an admirable level of success in your own right, and then said, this is good, but there's more. Hmm. And the more is what is for me. Because I think so many of us put so much effort into building something for someone else.
Yes.
And oftentimes then feel like, but gosh, there's a certain level of life that I've grown accustomed to. And there's certain prestige, and there's just a certain identity that I have connected to this. And I know I can say this very vividly right now. Yeah. So to reach the level of success that you did, and to then pivot and then reach this level of success again is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so incredibly proud of you. As my husband and I walked in the studio for the very first time, it's like, this is just amazing.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry.
But it's true, because you to me are the visual of what many of us would love to do. Mm. And that is really pivot, walk away from, and then build something for us.
Yeah.
That is our own, that then creates opportunities for other people yeah. to be able, like with this studio, to be able to then create their own, yeah. you know, and it replicates and replicates and replicates. So I am, if I don't ever say it again, so incredibly proud of you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm not going to listen. These lashes, I cannot.
I know.
I want to cry. But listen, we have a few more episodes, but thank you. I mean, that means a lot, because that's one of the primary reasons why I made the transition, is because I truly believe that my life is a billboard. Mm-hmm. And when I think about what happens after I am no longer here, I want it to be said that I lived in such a way that inspired other people to live their best lives. And it hasn't been easy. Yeah. And, you know, it's come with a lot of sacrifices. Let me tell you something. I was dealt a diamond for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. I know what that means.
And the first time I had to board at the back of the plane.
Ooh, child. And you didn't board first.
But listen, it's the truth. I mean, that we really have to redefine what success, because I was dealt a diamond at a lot of, with a lot of sacrifice.
Yeah.
That I wasn't willing to make anymore. So I had to remind myself that first flight that, you know, my status had changed and I was like getting on with everybody else at the back, you know, that, okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
It is okay, girl. That you're not sitting in first. I mean, what? How much does that really mean to you? And how much are you willing to exchange for that? Yes. And how much more have you gained by giving that back? And it doesn't mean I'm not going to attain it again.
Right.
Right?
Because if you attained it once.
And it's how we define that. And so I appreciate you saying that because it does give, I think, just affirmation that what I'm doing it matters.
Yeah. But I love that you gave that very real other side of that as well, is that you were Delta Diamond and there were sacrifices to get to Delta Diamond, just like this is an amazing studio and there were sacrifices for this amazing studio. It's like, am I willing to make the sacrifices for the billboard that I'm looking to erect, or am I willing to make the sacrifices for someone else's billboard? And that's no shame for, you know, I do feel like there's like, well, don't work for the man. And, you know, listen, if you were intended to be in that space.
Honey, stay there because you will drown out here. Let me tell you.
Yes, because this is not for the faint at heart. Entrepreneurship is not for the faint at heart. I feel like sometimes it's often glamorized.
No, this whole girl boss thing, I think, is dangerous almost.
Child.
It's dangerous. It can be. You know, I think there is a power in recognizing what you want and then having communities to help you overcome fear and the trepidation, you know, surrounding with going to get it. But there's also, I think, an ugly side to that that makes women who are well-placed feel like they're not doing enough.
Yeah.
Right? When you are doing enough. And if you are, my whole thing is, are you maxed out where you are? Are you living the truest form of your life where you are? And if not, then, you know, what do you need to shift? But don't let my leap make you feel like, honey, you need to leap out of the pan into the fire because it might not be for you.
Yes.
So you have to define and find out what that looks like for you and not be coerced into a course of action that is going to leave you broke, busted, and disgusted.
Agreed, because then you are the fish out of water, when really that was the bowl that was the best environment for you. And you may not have the tools needed in that space, because there's a different tool set needed for a more corporate 9-to-5 space. There's a different set of tools that's needed for an entrepreneurial space.
Yeah.
There's a different set of tools for a hybrid of the two spaces. And so I do love what you said in that you could end up putting yourself into a space that you're just not, it's not the best for you.
Yeah. And so just going back to the topic of redefining love over 40, I want to say, find somebody to talk to about these decisions, about, you know, what you're contemplating in love, in career, in these transitions at 40. Because now we know that you don't have to live in a vacuum and in isolation, that there are communities like this, like No Filter Femme, like the Be Her Collective or whatever, you know, that are specifically curated for Black women over 40.
Yeah.
Because it's different.
It is different.
It's, you know, 40 on is different. Mm-hmm. Right. And so don't feel like you have to be alone in processing through these things. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the biggest takeaway from this episode, is in that redefinition period, get some help.
Yeah.
Lean on somebody.
Yeah.
Because people are certainly leaning on you, woman.
Listen, the whole community is. And going back to an earlier episode about how we then feel like we have to be that support and guide for everybody, as opposed to perhaps spreading the love.
Yes.
And then being able to just rest and be the one that leans on somebody.
Yeah.
And not be solely the one that's leaned onto.
The common thread is self-evaluation and self-assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing the things that are necessary to determine whether or not there is some redefinition that needs to happen, whether or not you're well-placed, But at 40, you should be doing the work to be living the life that you were created to live, in love, in marriage, in dating, in your platonic relationships, in your familial relationships, in career. This is the time. And if you haven't taken the time to sit with your thoughts, mm-hmm. which is something we talked about last night, I'm going to strongly encourage you to take the challenge that Kelly gave yesterday, which is to take a couple of days out of the week at the top of the day and take 10 minutes to sit with your thoughts, whatever that looks like for you. If that's complete meditation and silence, if that's journaling, if that's a walk to the beach, but whatever it is your time for you at the top of the day that is uninterrupted so that you can start to learn and more about yourself and more about what you want out of this phase of your life.
Agree. And set the tone. Set the tone for your day.
Yeah.
Set the tone for your week. Set the tone for your life.
I love it.
Me too. Ooh, this is good.
So thank you so much for joining us for Redefining Love After 40 and Rebel Love. And if you found today's episode valuable, please subscribe to the channel.
Yes.
Share it with your friends and leave us a review and let us know what other topics you would like to hear us talk about that you'd like to be a part of, because your support helps us continue these important conversations that are absolutely vital to the success of Black women over 40.
Absolutely. So don't forget to follow us on all social media. We're on all the socials as No Filter Femme for updates, fun behind the scenes content, which we've been doing plenty of that as well, and more ways to connect with our amazing community.
We love you. And until next time, you keep loving boldly, keep believing and remembering that romance can be redefined at any age. Your life can be redefined at any age, that you are never stuck. You're either moving forward or backwards. So we need to make sure we have our feet on the pedals and we're moving forward. No filter, just real talk. Goodbye.
Goodbye.